Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Miriam McCann. My name is Bob, the event manager. During the presentation, your lines remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties the conference is being recorded, and now I'd like to hand over to Miriam. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Miriam McKennan here. My role is the Reef Asset Manager for Geotechnical and Drainage Assets. Obviously, you've just met Bob, and I think out on the lines today, I think there may be a very exclusive group of 10 of us today. There's only one thing, really, that came up in terms of briefings, which is the Infrastructure Project Home Safe Report. So I'll just go through some of the stories in there as we go through the call. The second thing I wanted to sort of bring our minds to today was about site security over the Christmas break. Obviously, we've got different people and different working patterns. Some observations from my team around close calls. And then I thought, if anyone's got any particular sort of safety success stories from over the year, given this is sort of more or less the last one we're going to have before Christmas, it'd be really nice to hear if anyone's sort of got some positive comments about some changes that they've made or something they've reported, and they're just really glad that they'd spotted it and that you've made things safer for your colleagues. So without further ado, the first topic is the Infrastructure Projects Home Safe Report. So in here, there are about seven stories. Some are very positive and some have got some lessons learnt. The first of which is about a fractured arm at Hackney. So this is a project team who are doing a normal piling operation using a 13-ton excavator. And during the removal of the torque head to replace, I think to add an extra screw pile, one of the operatives was struck on the arm with the torque head. The investigation is underway, but one of the early conclusions they've come to is that they will do a safe by design, sort of redesign of the equipment to make sure that it can't happen again. The second thing out of infrastructure project, second story, was regarding a site. I don't think it's been a terribly cold winter so far, and we're certainly not sort of forecast a particularly cold winter for the next week. But they found that they had frozen water in the toilets on the welfare facilities on site. So if there's no welfare, then no work. So it's got to be obviously safe and hygienic for people to be there. The third story is another positive story. So it's around fatigue. There's a construction manager who had identified in his programme before the guys had gone to site that there's a 10-hour hot splicing shift programmed. Obviously, 10 hours is excessive for being on site, certainly doing sort of physical work, and it really puts a lot of pressure on the teams whilst you're out there. So he reprogrammed it to take place over 2 days. Obviously, it's added an extra day into the programme, but ultimately, obviously, it takes a lot of the pressure out of it, so you can work safely, and you can obviously keep quality checks and things like that, and no one's rushing to do anything. So ensuring good safety working hours and good safety on site at the same time. The fourth story, something which certainly bothers me, and I'm sure it bothers you as well, which is about causes and about cause competency. So there's a cause that was declined at Barnhurst by the signaller, and the reason was that he was unable to relay the correct message back to the signaller. So an operational close call was raised because, obviously, although he wasn't on site at the point at which the phone call was made, it was his intent to go onto site. So that was that story. Another positive was there was an oil spill at Queenstown Road. The team were effectively contained and disposed of the oil with drip trays and nappy mats, and the crew sort of contained the entire incident. So another success in the face of a challenge. So the story number six is not such a good story, but lots of things to learn. So on the Thames Link project, amazingly, some sheet piles were installed and were found to be 2 centimetres away from a 22 kilovolt cable that was sort of 2 metres below ground level. So obviously, you know, it would have been a complete disaster if we'd actually damaged those cables. The lessons learnt are that, firstly, it was a very congested area in which they were working. So the buried service plans that had been ordered up were, firstly, they were only meant to be for preparing trial pits, sort of to the top 1 metre. So they showed one cable present within that particular area. However, this was never found on site. But there's another cable. In fact, there turned out to be three or four cables all in that particular area. The drawing showed one, and obviously they did discover this sort of other cable further down. So the lessons learnt, firstly, obviously, only use the drawings for the particular task that you have asked for. The drawings should be less than 6 months old to make sure that they are as up-to-date as possible. And always use safe digging practices until you have positive confirmation of where the services actually are. So the final story from infrastructure projects was the fire alarms at London Bridge, which I'm sure some of you have heard about. So 75 devices were rendered out of action by a contractor who was sawing slabs near the temporary ticket office and obviously went through something they shouldn't have. As a result, the building contractor investigated and incorrectly assigned the fault a 7-day rectification rather than a 2-hour rectification. And the fire alarm test that took place 5 days later discovered that various areas of the concourse did not have alarms. So quite a lot of obviously danger and risk for those people who would have been using the concourse during that period of time. So obviously immediate action was taken. So the project team were all rebriefed on the permit to dig. There's some coaching and development put in place around some of the key roles for the authorised person, frontline supervisor, and also the building controllers who are in the station control room. And then they changed the programme as well to make sure there was better alignment between some of the works taking place and the fire alarm testing. And they just they changed the monitoring regime to keep a closer control of these things. So that really concludes the infrastructure project's Home Safe report. I hope you can take some of those lessons learnt away and use those where you are working. And the second thing I wanted to talk about was about Christmas site security. So obviously Christmas on the railway, we have much less sort of regular activity and much more new project teams, subcontractors, sort of different people, different working hours taking place. So for me, I think it puts much more of an onus on us, sort of, I suppose, like sort of receiving guests into our own homes, sort of, you know, taking some pride in our workplace, our railway. So, you know, when you see different people on site, please make sure that you have just, you know, positive conversations around safety with them. So just checking that gates are shut. Obviously there are more children around over the holidays. It's a stressful time of year as well, so you know, sort of trespass is particularly worrying, and people getting in and around. So just making sure the gates are shut, equipment is locked up and kept out of sight, and just want, you know, find out what's going on, what the project's doing that are out there. You know, there may be people who aren't used to the railway as you are and might find it beneficial to just talk to someone who's familiar with some local risks and things like that, and just sort of, you know, see what they know and share some of your knowledge. You know, make sure they're safe systems of work, perhaps have sort of taken account of things like working shifts, working patterns, and in particular if you are working over Christmas. I know sort of obviously we're trying to control fatigue a lot more through the new sort of Sentinel app and things, but actually, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on outside of work. And, you know, if people are at home over Christmas and you've got sort of, you know, small children, sort of, you know, health issues, relatives, and sort of visits, trips here, there and everywhere, you know, no one really knows what you're doing outside of work. And if you are turning up to work sort of less than 6 hours of sleep, it's well worth sort of pointing that out to the calls so that you can make a safety assessment about what you should actually be doing on that particular day. But just, you know, really think about it. And take care of your colleagues as well, so just make sure that people are well rested before they start work. So the third topic of conversation I wanted to bring up was about close calls and some observations and sort of from my team, from the RAMS team point of view. So sort of see, you know, with close calls, I feel very strongly, you know, these are, I'm sure we all do, and they're more than just a target, and the right report can save a life. And it's what we do with these reports that really counts. So a lot of the calls that come to my team, for example, may be about narrow embankments, about no safe positions of no positions of safety or uneven ground. So many things like that, uneven troughing routes and things. Now, obviously, you know, the sad fact is that we can't eliminate all of these close calls with physical work, if it's heavy civils work, and it, you know, it's not instantaneous. So we can put it into work banks and things, but it still takes sort of, you know, months and years to plan access and change and things like that, even if we can get our priorities right to make things that like that happen. So in terms of making things safer now, you know, when these things come to my team, it's interesting to know what our options are for, you know, what happens tomorrow when the next person walks along that uneven death or something like that. So just, you know, a request really to sort of think about, you know, are we providing the causes, are you providing the safe system of work feedback to the planners so that the next time they come along, those hazards are added to the plans. You know, is it worth considering reporting to line managers and the section managers about hazard directory changes if it's, you know, something that you routinely feel you just shouldn't be there at all? You know, raise it to the section manager so they can go and do a proper risk assessment and include it if it has to be included. And then, you know, you could mitigate the risk by changing operating procedures, doing works in different orders or using slightly different access. Maybe there is something that you can change about the way that you do things. Obviously, you might change the type of kit or different PPE. There might be some other protection system that could be used to work in that area. And, of course, never forget the work-safe discussion. So if you really, really feel that there is no safe way of getting to site along that desk, then there should be a work-safe discussion with the line manager. And that's not to say that the work isn't going to get done, but just to say, actually, you know, this isn't safe. Have that conversation and then find a different way of doing it. So I think those are sort of the three main topics for me. In terms of the question session, which will come up in a minute, really, if you just take a couple of moments now, just have a think about any of the things that you've reported over the last year or any safety changes which have sort of come to us from someone else. You know, if you've got anything, sort of observations that you'd like to make, that things that have worked well or that we should learn from, it'd be really interesting to hear from you. I think, you know, one of the things for me is because we've been evacuated out of our offices recently at Waterloo and my team are on site a lot of the time. Actually, I don't know whether they're, you know, most of the time I don't know quite whether they're on site or whether they are in a different office or whether they're, you know, essentially haven't got into work safely or, you know, it's difficult to keep in touch. So we've made some changes in our team so that we've all got sort of next of kin details and we use the instant messenger, sort of Microsoft Link and things like that if we're in the office. And we're much better about sort of sharing information about where we're going to be working. If we're out of Iowa, making sure other people know where we are so that it's much easier to stay in touch. And I feel a lot safer that way, if we know where people are. So if I could ask Bob, would you mind opening up the line so that people can sort of phone in with any questions or obviously any stories about safety that they'd like to share, please?
Certainly, thank you. So ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. Record your name and press the hash key, just ensuring that your line is not on mute at that time. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question, and all other lines will remain on listen only. So, just remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. Record your name and press the hash key. Thank you. There's nothing come through at the moment. So again, just remind you, if you do wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Thank you. There's still no questions emerging at the moment, Miriam.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'd just like to say thank you very much, everyone, for dialing in, and obviously have a happy and safe Christmas. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.